Welcome to Voices of Change, a podcast for the Get the Medications Right Institute. We are on a cusp of a new era of specialty medications and gene therapies that will transform care, but we're also seeing tremendous waste. Research shows us that waste exceeds $500 billion annually. That's about 16% of total U.S. health expenditures. And worse still is the human toll. More than 275,000 lives lost attributed to medication errors. Consider some of these statistics. 30% of Americans take five or more prescription drugs. More than 75% of all physician office visits result in a prescription for medication. Annually, more than 4 billion prescriptions are filled in U.S. pharmacies. And up to 75% of patients do not take their medications as directed. But there is good news. There are opportunities to control the loss and waste, whether you're involved in receiving, paying for, or delivering care. Living in a world where patients get the right medications the first time is attainable. That's what we're doing at the Get the Medications Right Institute. And that's what you'll hear about on Voices of Change. And here's your host for Voices of Change, the Executive Director and Co-Founder of the Institute, Katie Capps.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Kaiser is one of the largest nonprofit healthcare plans in the United States, with over 12 million members. It operates 39 hospitals and more than 700 medical offices with over 300,000 personnel, including more than 80,000 physicians and nurses. During the coronavirus pandemic, Kaiser's pharmacy saw a dramatic increase in services and rose to meet the needs of their members and staff in an extraordinary fashion. Joining us on this episode of Voices of Change is new GTMRX executive member, Amy Gutierrez, to talk about some of the key learnings Kaiser Permanente gathered and is still gathering from the pandemic. Dr. Amy Gutierrez currently serves as a Senior Vice President and Chief Pharmacy Officer for the Kaiser Permanente National Pharmacy Program. She oversees pharmacy practice and operations across eight regions with over $10.5 billion in annual pharmaceutical expenses and over 14,000 pharmacy team members. She also oversees the implementation of the National Pharmacy Strategy, focused on driving excellence in member experience, leveraging Kaiser Permanente's integrated health network to maximize outcomes, empower pharmacy staff, and drive medication safety and affordability. Dr. Gutierrez's experience includes broad expertise in pharmacy operations and technology, expanding the role of pharmacists in practice, medication management, managed care, federal 340B regulations, and strategic planning and execution. Welcome to our show today, Amy.
Thank you, Katie. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited to join the GTMRX Institute and be part of the effort to address this critical issue in the United States around medication management.
Well, we are certainly delighted that a leader like you and Kaiser Permanente will be part of the GTMRX family. So, Amy, considering your extensive background in pharmacy operations and technology, why do you have such a passion for the role technology can play in the medication use process today?
Well, I've had a long history in pharmacy. I started out in the pharmacy field. My mother is a pharmacist. So I grew up in a pharmacy family, and as soon as I could reach typewriter, those typewriters back in those days, I would be typing labels and I'd go to work with her in terms of trying to learn about the pharmacy profession. So I can say I've been in the pharmacy industry for a long time. And I've had a lot of different experiences, not only in ambulatory care. I've also been a hospital pharmacy director. and I have seen how technology impacts safety and medication use. And I've also been on the State Board of Pharmacy for California. I was the board president for a number of years and saw the impact on how technology can help support pharmacists to really work at the top of their license, to have the ability to assess data, to identify solutions moving forward, using skill sets that pharmacists have as experts in drug use, and how to utilize medications as safely as possible, is technology just plays right into that. In Kaiser Permanente, we also have quite a bit of technology expertise because we have an electronic health record that has an integrated pharmacy system. Our pharmacy system is, in essence, embedded inside of our health record. And this is both outpatient and inpatient. So it's all part of the same ecosystem and allows us the ability to really impact medication use across the whole continuum, all the way from prescribing to monitoring of medication. So it's a very, I think technology has a very key role to play with pharmacy and really elevating the skills so that we have ability to really distill data and make right decisions for our members. I'm very excited about some of the new technology that's coming out just with pharmacogenomics and the ability to really look at more experiences and have more personalized medicine for medication down the road.
Well, certainly your expertise and experience from a Kaiser standpoint, with your integrated medical record, is the envy of many in the industry. And I'm sure you recognize the opportunities that abound based on the work that you're doing in integrating pharmacy operations across the system. So Amy, the COVID-19 pandemic put an incredible strain on the U.S. healthcare system, and you are certainly aware of that. Kaiser Permanente is, of course, one of the largest nonprofit health plans, with more than 70,000 retail pharmacies. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the impact of the pandemic as it relates to your operations, and in what way did you rise to the occasion?
The pandemic with COVID-19, I believe, created not only challenges for all of our healthcare providers across the whole United States, but it also created silver linings of opportunity. And first of all, from the challenges side, we had to assume a high degree of transition to mail order pharmacy. So as the stay-at-home orders were impacted, members were concerned about the ability to be able to keep social distancing, to stay at home. Most of us, I think, were having groceries delivered. Our medication volume, our mail order volume, took at one point we were filling twice as much as we were a few months ago. So it put a huge strain on our mail order volume, but our teams and our technology stepped up. We were able to not only meet the challenge, but also identify some improvements on how we deliver mail order pharmacy and accessing members. We were able to address not only the challenge of providing medications in a remote manner, but also some of the mechanisms that we use to monitor patients through that process.
As we have seen across the country during the pandemic, telehealth services have increased significantly to serve patients. Amy goes on here to explain the impact at Kaiser Permanente.
So while we had pharmacists that would regularly meet with members face-to-face to provide them with medication expertise and counseling and ways to take their medication most appropriately, we had to move to do that in a remote manner. So we quickly built up a system where not only did we have telemedicine, telehealth, I think our telehealth percentage, I went up to that 2,000 times what it used to be prior to COVID-19, virtual care, and our pharmacy delivery system met that same delivery model in terms of being able to provide members with not only access to physical medication, but also medication support services, such as counseling, ability to provide clinical services. In an integrated health system such as ours, our pharmacists are a very big support to our providers, so that we have pharmacists embedded in clinics. We have about 1,500 clinical pharmacists embedded across the United States in a variety of clinical positions. they no longer were embedded in clinics with physicians. The physicians were doing their medication visits or their health visits through telemedicine. So we had to create processes where that same care was provided in a remote fashion.
I'm going to interrupt you a bit there because I'm interested in that. And I think to your point, so the 1,500 clinical pharmacists you have nationwide and the dual role of dispensing and the providing services, as you mentioned, counseling services, was that done virtually through the telemedicine visits in collaboration with the physicians? Is that how that was actually performed?
Well, the 1,500 pharmacists I'm referring to are not embedded in pharmacies. They are embedded in clinics, and they're providing diabetes support. In one of our regions, over 90% of diabetics are empaneled to pharmacists, and pharmacists write prescriptions. So as providers, they were seeing their patients, but they also provided support to physicians in specialty care areas. So we have pharmacists embedded in our rheumatology clinics, in our oncology clinics, that provide support to the team that's in that clinic. But now that clinic is now working in a remote fashion and they're not physically there, we had to come up with ways of keeping that team virtually together and having the ability for the pharmacist role as a clinician to continue through remote technology. And our IT systems stepped up to that. We found there's a actual technology that's embedded in Epic, which is our EHR, that's called Epic Chat, where physicians could correspond with pharmacists and with other healthcare providers real time through the technology. There's also panelment that went, our pharmacists that actually saw patients and treated patients were able to do that from remote locations.
One of the benefits that Kaiser Permanente found through this experience is that there is a lot more opportunity for virtual care for its members. Their ability to serve patients where they live and where they are most comfortable and safe has a lot more potential and better serves its members. Now let's get back to Amy.
One of the silver linings we found is that you don't have to physically be somewhere. There's a lot of opportunity with virtual care for members, and sometimes it's more convenient, even post-COVID. The convenience of having virtual visits and the ability to impact a patient where they live and where they are, rather than requiring an in-person visit, has a lot more potential during COVID and post-COVID, just from a convenience standpoint. So that was a big learning for us.
Yeah. So if you had to kind of think back, we're still in the midst of this, of course, but I think from an operations standpoint, you clearly were able to pivot and pivot very quickly. So thinking about the decisions that you've made over the past 3 months, what are the three key lessons that you learned on this side of the pandemic, recognizing that we have not gotten fully through the pandemic, but on this side of the pandemic, what are three key lessons that you learned as it relates to providing services, the pharmaceutical care and activities that your staff would normally provide?
I think one of them is just the ability that a pharmacist can provide care virtually without physically being with the member. Of course, that's going to depend on your technology and your ability to have a face-to-face visit with a patient. Sometimes it depends on the patient's ability to have access to internet speeds, for example, that are fast enough to be able to allow for that. There's telephone visits that are also, that can be managed. The ability to impact care without a physical in-person visit, I think, was a big one. I'd say the second one is that we saw a huge increase in our mail order prescriptions. Our mail order rate at one point in some of our regions were over 75% of our prescriptions were managed through mail service. And that is a lot more convenient aspect for our members to be able to receive, especially in the COVID situation that we're in now with social distancing. All of our pharmacies are embedded in clinics. So if you're going to come visit a pharmacy within Kaiser Permanente, you're going to be going into a clinic setting where there may be patients seeking care. So the ability for us to provide that remotely and have them be able to get their medications at home and support them in that manner. And our systems really stood up to that test of volume and managed it well. was another, I think, key learning is that we can continue, and our members also identified that mail order delivery is a viable option for them as well. So it was another silver lining that resulted. We also identified other ways of providing services. We instituted same-day delivery services, for example, our immunocompromised patients. We don't want them to have to come into one of our clinics to pick up medication. Can we do same-day delivery? The other one is curbside delivery. So we quickly put up the ability for, just like you see in a lot of the major retailers, for you to go into a parking space, and we had our staff walk the prescriptions out to their car so they wouldn't have to come into the pharmacy. So all these things were put together very quickly. We were one of the first parts of Kaiser Permanente to install the plexiglass sneeze guards, which call the screens in our pharmacies, because up until COVID, it was all very open, and we identified a way that we need to protect our staff. So putting those in, we have entrance screeners at our medical office buildings, our clinics, our hospitals, and all of our pharmacies, where there's someone that's actually screening the patient when they walk in to make sure that we protect the other patients as well as our staff.
Right.
So I think those are probably the biggest ones that we identified as a result of COVID.
And it's probably too soon to tell, or too soon to ask this question in terms of what activities will remain. But if you think of how the COVID-19 pandemic has pushed healthcare systems to very quickly adopt digital technology to keep providers and patients and family interactions safe, you know, and you've mentioned just briefly, you know, what Kaiser's done as it relates to telemedicine. But how would you anticipate that Kaiser might adapt telehealth services to meet the needs of your members in the future?
I think it's a reality that telehealth services are important to members today, to patients, and not just from a social distancing, but also a convenience standpoint. I think identifying those instances, I'm thinking generally your younger, healthy patients who may just need an immediate visit or an urgent medication, an urgent issue that they may have now. I know that once some of our regions are considering telemedicine health plans, for example, that will provide options for those that would like to receive their care. I don't know if it's for everybody. I know there are issues, for example, with your elderly patients or those that may have digital limitations in terms of equipment or ability to interact in that way. So I think it's something we really need to look at from an overall perspective as to what are the patient populations. And I think we're having really good learnings from that are probably most amenable for telemedicine.
Next, Amy talks with Katie about some of the advance and strategic planning that was performed by Kaiser Permanente and how that impacted their ability to better serve their care teams as well as their members. Let's listen.
There's also a whole section of pharmacy that we had to deal with during the pandemic, because we also operate hospitals. So we had COVID patients that were being hospitalized. We did all of the planning to manage the surge of volume that was was expected to hit us. So that a lot of work went into drug shortage planning. We created a lot of tools to be able to predict what our drug needs would be in prevent patients, for example. What would they need to have, how much would we need to have in place in inventory? We created a number of different inventory models to be able to predict and also ensure appropriate supply of critical vent medications so that we would not run short for our hospitals. And we actually did a pretty good job in terms of keeping up with the demand. We do our own drug contracting in Kaiser Permanente. We actually are our own GPO. So we're able to contract directly with manufacturers and ability to build up some medication ability for our care, for the care of our hospitals while that was going on was, I think, a critical aspect of our being able to ensure that we had adequate supply during the hospitalizations of these members.
I was just going to say, it puts a whole new spin on inventory models to ensure just-in-time access to needed medication. I'm sure there's some important lessons that you've learned through this process as it relates to that, and some real opportunities to take those learnings into to future planning. So.
No, definitely. We put together tools. We created analytical predictive analytics tools that actually allow us to predict how much we'll need based upon hospitalization size. We also put together a very interesting plan B and plan C so that if we were to run out of the primary medication, what would be the next alternative? So because we're an integrated health system, we work very closely with our providers, we were able to create alternate treatment regimens that we could automatically put into place should we run short of drug A, and then also have the order sets that go into the EHR that would accompany those plan B and plan Cs that we could implement immediately should the need arise. So a lot of planning went into place to ensure that we provided safe care from a pharmaceutical aspect across all the different various types of care that we provide during COVID.
Well, and certainly I think the COVID-19 pandemic has illuminated things that we would have never expected. And, you know, there are dinner table conversations around safe, effective use of medications that we thought was, in the past, we thought would be limited only to the academic circles. So, you know, I think you've certainly led the way in many of the activities around that. So how would you say the lessons learned have offered insight into safe, effective medication use and access to medications and appropriate medications? Are there lessons learned there through the 3-month process that you've just gone through?
I think the ability to work closely with our providers to identify the best path forward that is evidence-based. A lot of our work that we do in Kaiser Permanente is focused on evidence-based care. So we do have clinical pharmacists that review evidence, provide drug information services to our P&T committees as well as our physicians on what is the best optimal care. And sometimes with COVID, we're just learning about it. It's not
right.
Like it's a tried and true disease state that you've know what the treatment is. We're experimenting. We all went through the hydroxychloroquine phase, right? And then the remdesivir and now the dexamethasone. And we're trying things and keeping an eye on what is the latest evidence, how to position therapy so that it's best for our patients has been a critical aspect of what our pharmacists are doing currently on the front lines in terms of working with our providers. And because we're an integrated system, it's so much easier because everyone works together. We have the same goal in mind. At some point, we were able to turn around treatment regimens in a couple of days as needed. So it really tested the system, and all of our providers and our pharmacists and our whole system stepped up. And I just was really impressed at the ability during an emergency to react in that manner and have the best available evidence in terms of treatment for our patients. So sometimes it's not just about providing the drug, it's also about what drug you provide and what the evidence shows in terms of effectiveness.
Absolutely. And I think it's about leadership. I think it's planning, and I think it's having a team in place across the continuum of care that can pivot very quickly. So, you know, you brought up kind of the collaboration between your pharmacist and the primary care physicians of Kaiser Permanente. Can you expand on that a little bit and talk a little bit about how that model includes patients as well? You know, just share some lessons learned from those collaborations and how it benefits your members and how you are seeing it benefit your members on an ongoing basis.
Yes, very much so. With other health plans, when we have different health record systems, when we have different pharmacy systems, when there are all the different silos that exist sometimes in healthcare today, you lose the opportunity of really having that integrated view that we have within our integrated system. So the disconnection between pharmacists and patients and providers doesn't exist as much in our system because we're all on the same platform. So a patient could see a physician this morning, and the patient might have a medication sitting on the shelf, and if the provider decides that it's not safe to continue, well, just maybe a lab result comes in and discontinues the medication. If they go to the pharmacy this afternoon, they won't be able to pick up the medication because the interface and the ability to send messages within the system to try to safeguard our members is a very big focus of ours to ensure that every part of the system is seeing the same information.
Health information technology is one of the four pillars in the Get the Medications Right Institute's call for medication management reform. And Kaiser Permanente's structure illustrates how the entire care team can monitor patients to assure their clinical goals of therapy have been met. Let's listen to see how else they are using data in delivery of care.
So our physicians work very closely with pharmacists, see them as partners, and also with our patients as partners to see how we can really look at outcomes. And we do a lot of our own, not only our own evidence-based review, but we also do a lot on looking at outcomes. And we have our own research group internally that looks at data on how we can move certain initiatives forward. For example, we're one of the biggest proponents of the use of biosimilars. And even early on when biosimilars were released, the ability for us to look at internal data as far as the fact that biosimilars were equivalent, non-inferior, could be used, really drove some of the biosimilar use so that when we release biosimilars now in the marketplace, we typically can get over 90% transition right off the bat because of our work that we've shown in terms of the evidence showing that it is effective in our patient population. Our electronic health record and pharmacy system are closely integrated so that when there's a formulary update, when there's a change in status, when there's decision support information that shows up, we can very tightly focus interventions on our members and our patients to safeguard their care.
Next up, Katie and Amy talk about comprehensive medication management and some areas where Kaiser Permanente is using CMM services to improve their outcomes with members. Let's continue.
Well, collaboration is a huge part of the process of comprehensive medication management, as you well know. And you also recognize that at the Institute, we are advocating for broader access to this level of service to manage misuse, overuse, and underuse of medication therapy that leads to treatment failures or a new medical problem or both. And certainly based on what you've outlined, not only is that a service that you are providing broadly, but it's a service that you intend to continue to provide in a more integrated fashion. How do you see CMM fitting into the work you do at Kaiser?
At Kaiser Permanente, our clinical pharmacists work in our system under collaborative drug therapy management agreements to optimize treatment and help the patients achieve their therapeutic goals. And working under the agreements, we take care of patients with chronic and acute conditions, including anticoagulation, oncology. We do a lot of post-hospitalization discharge follow-up. Notice in most of our regions, we don't operate hospitals. They're just in a few select regions. So a lot of time is coordination with outside hospitals when patients get discharged and preventing rehospitalization. We look at things such as asthma and COPD, HIV support, heart failure, Hep C, just MTM for the Medicare population, looking at transplant drugs. And then we're really going into a lot of the specialty fields such as rheumatology, oncology, hemophilia. We have pharmacists that monitor hemophilia patients. And each program is managed in partnership with our physicians and pharmacists. And we focus on helping our patients meet treatment goals and targets utilizing medication. So we focus on medication outcomes, reducing medication therapy risk. Sometimes it's helping manage costs. If you look at some of the data that is published, and this isn't just for Kaiser Permanente, but just in general, when drugs cost over a certain copay, some of the members will not come and pick up their medication. So how do we manage that? And that's a big issue right now with COVID is people are unemployed. Yeah. We've had members contacting us and saying, can I return my medication because I need to get my copay reimbursed because I just lost my job. So how do we manage that and look realistically and work with our providers to ensure that we manage access to drugs as well? Earlier this year, for the 10th year in a row, Kaiser Permanente earned the Pharmacy Quality Alliance Excellence and Quality Award for high achievement in medication safety and appropriate use. Now, while some of our regions had won this over time, this year in this particular 2020 was the first year that all 8 regions won the PQA award. So it was just whole organization wide. So it just shows the focus on excellence that the many teams that we have on the ground are really focused on delivering medication quality. I'm just really proud of them. They did a great job in terms of delivering on health outcomes, on our focus, on ensuring that medication therapy is managed in the best way possible for our members.
Well, as you should be, and there's no question, I think, about the fact that the pandemic has really tested our systems as it relates to access, affordability, and appropriate use of medications. Is there a closing word that you would like to offer, Amy, in terms of that, you know, when you look back and when you look back in 5 years at this time, what do you think you will be looking back on in terms of a, you've already offered us the silver lining view, but what do you hope will be different 5 years from now based on lessons learned during this pandemic?
I am hopeful that we can really leverage the telehealth platform and the ability to get, and the way I look at telehealth is more access, the ability to get more patients therapy and to be seen remotely, I think just provides us more opportunities rather than an in-person visit. And also the fact that the pharmacists in our system, and I think in the U.S., are really leading change in terms of practicing to the top of their license and really having an impact on health outcomes. There's so much opportunity and such a skill set that we provide that utilizing that to the best extent possible and to see the fact that there has been an impact on some outcomes. One of the things I looked at very closely during the pandemic is in terms of access to even infusion care. If you think about it, patients don't want to come to a clinic. They're not going to want to come and get infusion care. Our infusion care numbers were really up there in terms of the ability for us to provide care to members, even despite the pandemic. So how do we start really leveraging all of our assets across the whole system and the skill sets? And I mean, I'm maybe prejudiced, but I think I've got probably the best team of pharmacists out in the U.S. right now, because we've really focused on outcomes, on excellence, and ways of trying to really help support every single member on how to use medications in the most effective way possible.
Well, we certainly appreciate the work you have done and the leadership that Kaiser has shown during this very difficult time. So I want to thank you for speaking with us today, for taking time out to talk to us about not only the lessons learned from the experience with Kaiser Permanente, but the opportunities we have before us. I also want to thank you for supporting and joining in the important work of the Get the Medications Right Institute. We have much to learn from you and your team.
So we're looking forward very much to participating in the Getting the Medications Right initiative and the ability to have an impact on the whole United States and therapy of and really promoting pharmacist care across all different therapy categories and patient types.
That marks the end of this episode of Voices of Change. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. To learn more about what you can do to help get the medications right, please visit us at www.gtmr.org. Until next time, be well.